ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're beginning the 8th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form Within His Mouth. The first three slokas don't have any purports, so we'll read through them quickly, and then we can all chant together text 4. Text 1. Sri Suka Uvacha Garga Purohito Rajan Yadunam Sumahatapaha Rajam Jagama Nandasya Vasudeva Prachoditaha. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, namely Gargamuni, who was highly elevated in austerity and penance, was then inspired by Vasudeva to go see Nanda Maharaj at his home. Text 2. Should I read the word for word also? Just translation. Okay. Is it there? Text 2? Okay. Tam drishtva paramapritha Pratyutaya Kritanjalihi Anarcha Doksha Jadiya Pranipata Purahrasaram. Translation. When Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni present at his home, Nanda was so pleased that he stood up to receive him with folded hands. Although seeing Gargamuni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Gargamuni was adhokshaja, that is, he was not an ordinary person seen by material senses. Text 3. There? Okay. Shupavishtam krita tityam Girasun ritaya munim Nandayidva bravit brahman Purnasya karavamakim. Translation. When Gargamuni had been properly received as a guest and was very comfortably seated, Nanda Maharaj submitted with gentle and submissive words, Dear sir, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. Yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me. What can I do for you? Now we'll go on to text 4. It can be chanted responsively. Mahadvichalanam drinam Grihinam dinachetasam Nishreyasaya Bhagavan Kalpate nanyata kvachit. Mahadvichalanam, the movement of great personalities. Nirinam, in the houses of ordinary persons. Grihinam, especially householders. Dina Chetasam, who are very simple-minded, being engaged in family maintenance and nothing more. Nishreyasaya, a great personality, has no reason to go to the Grihastha but to benefit him. Bhagavan, O most powerful devotee, Kalpate is to be taken that way. Na anyata, not for any other purpose. Kvachit, at any time. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another, not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Purport. As factually stated by Nanda Maharaj, Gargamuni, being a devotee, had no needs. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he has no needs, for he is Purna, Atmaram. Nonetheless, he descends to this material world to protect the devotees and vanquish miscreants. Parachanaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. This is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotees also have the same mission. One who executes the mission of para upakar, performing welfare activities for people in general, is recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as being very, very dear to him. Na cha tasman manushyeshu kaschin me priyakritamaha. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised this para upakar, and he has especially advised the inhabitants of India, Bharata bhumi te hoila manushya janma jar janma sartaka kori kara para upakar. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsh, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 941. On the whole, the duty of a pure Vaishnava devotee is to act for the welfare of others. Nanda Maharaj could understand that Gargamuni had come for this purpose, and that his own duty now was to act according to Gargamuni's advice. Thus he said, "Please tell me what is my duty." This should be the attitude for everyone, especially the householder. The Varnashram Society is organized into 8 divisions: Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprast, and Sannyas. Nanda Maharaj represented himself as a Grihinam, a householder. A Brahmachari factually has no needs, but Grihi, householders, are engaged in sense gratification. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:44, Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Parita Chetasam. Everyone has come to this material world for sense gratification, and the position of those who are too attached to sense gratification and who therefore accept the Grihastha Ashram is very precarious. Since everyone in this material world is searching for sense gratification, Grihasthas are required to be trained as Mahat, great Mahatmas. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj specifically used the word Mahadvichalanam. Gargamuni had no interest to serve by going to Nanda Maharaj. But Nanda Maharaj, as a Grihastha, was always perfectly ready to receive the instructions from a Mahatma to gain the real benefit in life. Thus he was ready to execute Gargamuni's order. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this particular beginning of chapter 8 is going to describe the name-giving ceremony, which is the second sanskara after the birth of a child, the namakaran. After the birth, first comes the jatakaran, that's the cutting of the umbilical cord when the child first comes out of the womb. And soon after that, generally, comes the namakaran sanskara. Officially, it's done the 12th or the 13th day after the child is born. But because of the particular circumstances in which Krishna appeared, this now, according to Jiva Goswami and the Gopal Champu, Krishna is exactly 100 days old. So I looked on the calendar this morning. 100 days after Janmashtami is the festival of Odanshashti. That's December. It's a cold time. And a child, a little baby by that time, is 3 months old. 100 days, it's about 3 months. Now, a three-month-old child has specific qualities. They can't yet crawl. They especially can't walk. They can grasp things, particularly to put in their mouth. By this time, at 3 months, they can recognize people. They know who their mother is, but they can't speak. They only babble, and sometimes they imitate the sounds that they hear that other people are making. They're the pinnacle of cuteness, 3 months old. So Krishna and Balaram, Krishna being 100 days old, and Balaram just a little bit older, they were now at this stage of sublime sweetness, being doted on by their mothers. And after the killing of Shakatasura, Nanda Maharaj, seeing that first Putana, then Shakatasura, Nanda Maharaj made a decision at that time. He said, these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, because before Rohini was staying in one place, and Yashoda was in a different place in the home of Nanda Maharaj. He said, these two boys, it's so difficult to look after them in two different places. From now on, they should never be separated. They should always live together. So from that time onwards, from Krishna's, when he could first turn over, Krishna and Balaram stayed together, along with Yashoda and Rohini. So it was a typical day in Braja. Early in the morning, all of the thousands and thousands of cows go out from the cowshed to pasture, eat the green grasses and wander in the forests. So that means the cowsheds are empty, but the calves are left. There were thousands of calves jumping around, playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj, since his childhood, he had worshipped a beautifully marked Shalagram Shila, Shalagram Maharaj, whose name was Lakshmi Narayan. So he had gone with just one servant to worship the Shalagram Shila. And because that morning, Vasudev, he had requested Gargamuni, because Vasudev was always meditating on his two sons. We have to always remember that Krishna and Balaram are actually brothers. They're both sons of Devaki, though one was transferred to the womb of Rohini. Originally, they're both the sons of Devaki. They're both Vasudev. They're both sons of Vasudev and Devaki. So Vasudev, he was meditating on his sons. And this happened actually, we know in the sequence of Srimad Bhagavatam, first Putana was killed, then Shakatasura, and then immediately Sukadev Goswami, in his ecstasy of talking about the killing of the demons, he describes Trinavarta. So what we read beforehand was the killing of Trinavarta in chapter 7. But actually, after the killing of Trinavarta, then Sukadev Goswami remembers that before Trinavarta was killed, this pastime took place of Gargamuni coming to Braja. So this is before Trinavarta, because the pastimes described by Sukadev Goswami, because he's speaking out of ecstasy, are not always in chronological order. So we have now Vasudev, Inspiring, this is the word Prabhupada uses, prachodita, inspiring Garga Muni, because Garga Muni was the acharya for the Yadu dynasty. He lived in Mathura. He was also a grihastha. He had a wife. He had a daughter, Gargi. And Vasudev called him and requested him, "You please go and perform the Namakaran Sanskara of my sons." Now, Garga Muni, he could understand, not only from his because he was a great astronomer, astrologer. The Jyotish Shastra, he was most expert. He had gone to perform tapasya. From that tapasya on the banks of the Saraswati, he was inspired by so much astrological learning from the Lord. So he knew already that it was impossible for Devaki to have given birth to a daughter. Not only that, Kamsa's worshipable deity is Durga Devi. So when Durga Devi appeared to him, a short description is given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but in the other shastras by the six Goswamis, Durga Devi explains many things to Kamsa at the time that she flew in the sky and spoke to him. She told him that the child who's going to kill you has already been born in another place. So we can understand that because Krishna was also born in Braja. He said that this is not the daughter of Devaki. So Kamsa already understood that. Therefore, he had already started to send all of the demons everywhere in the last 3 months, trying to kill all the children, and specifically looking for that one child who was meant to kill him, though he didn't know where that child was. That's why he and his ministers decided to kill all of the children. So, because he was looking for that child who was the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Vasudev and Garga Muni, they both understood that if Garga Muni went openly to perform the name-giving ceremony in Braja, Kamsa, through his spies, would understand that this must be the son of Vasudev. And then there would be a great catastrophe, because then he would do everything possible. He might even come personally just to kill this boy, Krishna. So he had to do it secretly. Therefore, as Nanda Maharaj that morning was worshipping Shalagram Shila with his servant, he saw coming from a distance Garga Muni alone. And he immediately stood, he worshipped him, he offered him a seat. Whatever offerings he had from Shalagram Maharaj, he offered to Garga Muni. He praised him, and he began speaking here, explaining that actually you are just like Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja is the name of the Supreme Lord, that he cannot be seen with the mundane material senses. He's above the vision of the material senses. Just as when the agnostics and the atheists, they'll say, "Can you show me God?" Well, do you have the eyes to see God? Because our senses must be purified in order to see the Lord. So also to see a pure devotee and to recognize a Vaishnava, you need special vision. Now the grihasthas, just as now for the last few days we've been hearing 7.5.5, the pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, at 8.5, he's explaining to his father that this grihastha life is just like an andhakupa, just like a dark well. And if you fall into a dark well in the middle of a field, you can cry and cry for hundreds of years, but no one will hear you, and you'll die in that dark well. So believe me, andhakup, this grihastha life, unless you get the association of a pure devotee, of a Vaishnava, you're simply crying in a dark well, a dried up well with no water. So Nanda Maharaj, understanding that he was a grihastha, a Vaishya, he was in this grihastha ashram. Grihastha ashram means the license for sense gratification. He was also the king of all of the Brijbasis. So he, as a king, He had so much power also, and he had a beautiful wife and 900,000 cows. So when he saw Gargamuni coming and he greeted him and he seated him, he began to extol the glories of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava has no purpose of his own to wander into the homes of grihasthas. Generally, Brahmins, they'll take the Brahmin acharyas such as Gargamuni, they'll take three occupations. They might be astrologers, they might become Ayurvedic physicians, or they might become teachers. Now, they might wander from home to home because the grihasthas, they're always interested in who they were in their past life and what they're going to be in their future life. So the Brahmins, because of their astrological, their Jyotish knowledge, they're able to answer these questions. We had that example also in Chaitanya Lila. One astrologer came and Nimai asked the astrologer, what was I in my last life? And when the astrologer saw that this is actually the Supreme Lord sitting in front of me, he said that you appeared in so many different colors, you appear in this, you appear just to protect the demigods and Indra from the demons. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the part of an ordinary human child, he said, no, you're mistaken. I already know who I was in my past life. So I herded the cows. I was a cowherd boy. And because I served the cows, therefore, in this lifetime, I was able to take a Brahmin birth. So he was hiding himself, channa. He was trying to cover himself. Prahlad Maharaj uses that word. He was the hidden incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So now we have Gargamuni sitting before Nanda Maharaj. Gargamuni, he came on the instruction of and request of Vasudev to perform the Namakaran Sanskara. But he explained to Nanda Maharaj that Nanda Maharaj wanted him to perform this Namakaran. He said, I am the Acharya of the Yadus. That's a Kshatriya family. You are also a member of the Kshatriya family because having been born from the same father, and then the father took two wives, one a Vaishya wife, one a Kshatriya wife, you're also a member of the Yadu dynasty, but because you're now in a Vaishya family, also having married a Vaishya wife, your priests for the Vaishyas should perform this Namakaran Sanskara, not me. And there's another reason. Because if I perform it and anyone finds out, Kamsa will immediately understand that this is the son of Vasudev that he's been looking for, because that's why Vasudev sent him to do the Namakaran. So Nanda Maharaj, he understood this. Although Nanda Maharaj could never fully comprehend that Krishna is the son of Vasudev. So he realized that, yes, Gargamuni was sent by Vasudev, and yes, there is a way to do this Namakaran Sanskara, but it has to be done secretly. So because all the cows were out in the pasturing grounds, Nanda Maharaj suggested, we can do it secretly. No one will know because we'll do it in the cow shed. No one will be there. I won't even let the workers come in. You know, every day if you go to the Goshala, after the cows go into the field, the workers have so much work to do. They have to clean up the gober, they have to sweep, they have to fill up the water trough, they have to prepare for when the cows come back with the busha and the chari. So they're busy. So Nanda Maharaj said, I won't let any of the laborers come in. We'll just be alone. I won't even tell my brothers. It'll just be you and the children and me. So immediately, because his servant was there with him, he called his servant and he whispered to him, do this, get that, call them. So the servant went running. And he ran to the home of Nanda Maharaj, which was nearby. And he told the two mothers, quickly, bring the two children. Now the children, they couldn't walk, so they picked up the children in their arms. Side by side, the two mothers came. Gargamuni was sitting there in the cowshed. When he saw those two children coming with the mothers, all the different ecstatic symptoms appeared in his body, because he knew who these boys were. Astrologically, he understood. He saw Krishna and Balaram clinging to their mothers like innocent little children, playing the part of little infants, loving their mothers, hiding themselves in their saris. So he saw these two boys, and his eyes became wide open. He couldn't blink. He was just drinking in the beauty of Krishna and Balaram as little children. They didn't have names yet. So drinking, and then the tears started falling from his eyes, and he became completely stunned seeing these two boys. But he had a duty to perform. So when the mothers and the two children approached, they silently offered their obeisances to Gargamuni, and he requested them to sit down. And then he began very quietly. So just, how many were there? Krishna, Balaram, the two mothers, that's four, Nanda Maharaj, and Gargamuni. Six people were there for the Namakaran. And he began first to describe Balaram. Now everyone could understand that Balaram was the son of Vasudev, because Rohini had given birth to him. So he gave three names to Balaram. Because he's so powerful, his name is Baladev. Because he gives pleasure to all the devotees, his name is Rama. And because he is joining the two families of the Yadus and the Brijbasis, Nanda Maharaj's family and Vasudev's family, his name is also Shankarshan. Then he came to the name-giving of little Krishna. First he gave the name Krishna. Krishna has so many different meanings, but Krishna, all-attractive, one who gives bliss, that's the principal meaning of Krishna, so he gave the name Krishna. And then he explained to Nanda Maharaj that your son, he sometimes is a son of Vasudev. So therefore his name is also Vasudev. Then he described that there are so many names for your son, I may know them, but other people may not understand them. So he indicated the name of Giridhari. He indicated the so many different names that Krishna would have according to his different pastimes. And as Krishna grew, Yashoda Mayi in her songs and the other Brijbasis, as they saw Krishna's wonderful activities, he acquired many, many names to glorify the beautiful pastimes that he was performing in Braja. So when Nanda Maharaj heard that one of his names was Vasudev, again, he couldn't quite understand why would his name be Vasudev. He could not comprehend. And then Gargamuni, he went on to describe that your son is Narayana Sama. He's just on the same level. Although the Supreme Lord is Asam Urdhva, Asam, none can be the same as him, and Urdhva, none can be better than him. He's Asam Urdhva. Your son is Narayana Sama. So that can be taken two ways. It can be taken that your son is the same as Narayan, or that Narayan is as good as your son, because we know that Krishna has the four splendid qualities that even Narayan doesn't have. That's his Madhurya Leela, all the different different qualities that are described in the Nectar Devotion by Rupa Goswami. So some indication was given. He also described to Nanda Maharaj that this child appears in every yuga to annihilate the demons and to protect the devotees. In Satyayug, he appeared in white color. As his name was Hansa, he had many different names. Those names are given later in the 11th canto. Then in the Treta Yuga, he appeared in a reddish form. And now in Dwapara Yuga, he's appearing in a blackish form. And then in Kali Yuga, he will appear in a yellow form. And we understand that that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in a roundabout way, Gargamuni was indicating to Nanda Maharaj that you must protect this child because he is non-different from the Supreme Lord. Now he's a little child. You must do everything possible to maintain him and protect him, because many demons will come. Already you've seen two demons have come. Many more demons will come, and you must protect the child. So then, from that time onwards, Krishna and Balaram had their names. And as little three-month-old children, the mothers started calling them by their names. And therefore, they had to also learn their names, and they would mix up their names with each other. And then they would start calling each other by their names. And then finally, gradually, they started to speak, they started to crawl, and just like lions, they would have dirt all over their bodies. And they were very curious, particularly about ferocious animals. So all of these very sweet childhood pastimes are going to be described in this eighth chapter. Now, after Gargamuni completed the Namakaran Sanskara, he then prepared to leave. And because everything was done secretly, normally one gives immense charity to the Purohit who's performing the Sanskara, but that couldn't be done openly. So what Nanda Maharaj did was, he secretly sent 10,000 cows, he sent gold coins that were, they were so pure, it was a special kind of gold, the reddish gold, and he sent these all to Gargamuni so no one else would know. And then he called his family priests, and openly, publicly, he then had the Namakaran, because now the names had been given by Gargamuni. So those names were then publicly given by the Vaishya, the priests, the brahmanas, who were the Purohits for the Vaishyas in Braja. And there was a big festival, a lot of giving and charity, all of the brothers were called, all the inhabitants of Braja were called, and then there was that beautiful big festival. So this is a synopsis of the birth-giving ceremony that Gargamuni performed, and this is the first pastime that's being described in this eighth chapter. Then we go on to hear the sweet pastimes of how Yashoda and Rohini were always trying to protect their little sons. They would specifically, the boys, while looking around, they would see the horns on the cows, they would go to touch the horns. You know what happens when you try to touch the horn of a cow? They'll go like that. These are just little children. They would see the fangs on the ferocious animals, they would go to touch the fangs. So the mothers were in constant anxiety. These children, what are they going to do next? And then, being very naughty children, when they found out that the mothers were specifically worried that they wouldn't do something, naturally they would try to do those things. And they became very expert at hiding. Now the children who could already walk, they would come and play with Krishna and Balaram. And they were learning how to speak. So Krishna would say to Balaram, "Let's go play." And Balaram would say, "No, no, mommy will be angry." She said, "No, no, let's go." So then they would toddle off together, and their friends would take them far away. And the mothers would go running after them. They would send the nurses to see where they were. And the children would hide from the nurses. And finally, the mothers themselves would have to come and find them. So all these beautiful pastimes that occurred in Mahavan will be described in this eighth chapter. And the pinnacle of the pastime is when we have this Damodar Lila. Finally, one day, Krishna, there was an argument amongst the children. And the boys wanted to get Krishna in trouble with his mother. So they went to Mother Yashoda and they complained against him. They said, "You're a little child, he's eating dirt. Look in his mouth, he's eating dirt." So she grabbed them by the hand, put him on her lap, said, "Krishna, are you eating dirt?" "No, no, Mata, they're all liars. I didn't eat dirt." "But Balaram also said you're eating dirt." "No, no, he's on their side. We had a fight today. So he's also making lies against me. I never ate dirt." So Mother Yasoda being very worried. Now there's any child you can watch. Most of you are brahmacharis, but if you ever see the little children, the first thing children do is whatever they have in their hand, they'll put in their mouth. And that includes dirt. And there's another, the children eat dirt. You see the monkeys, if they have nothing to eat, they'll go and eat dirt. Right? Prabhupada explains that. Because there's minerals in dirt. So the children, it's explained medically, that children will sometimes eat dirt if there's a lack of calcium, if there's a lack of magnesium. So naturally, children eat dirt. But mothers are always warning the children, don't eat the dirt, because it's dirt, you know. It might have germs in it also, the children will get sick. So then when Mother Yasoda said, "Let me see, open up your mouth." So he opened up his mouth, and for the second time now, Mother Yasoda is going to see the universal form within Krishna's mouth. So we have a lot to look forward to in this chapter. Particularly in these first four verses, we have Nanda Maharaj, who's the heavenly planets. This will be described later. That Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they were Drona and Dara, who were specifically instructed to come to the earthly planet as the eternal parents of Krishna. So they're here. He's playing the part of a Vaishya now. And he's offering his respects to Gargamuni. And as playing the part of Grihastha, he is requesting Gargamuni, "You please enlighten us, because a great Mahatma such as yourself, the only reason you come to the home of Grihasthas is to give them spiritual knowledge." So therefore, Gargamuni, when Vasudev asked Gargamuni to go to Braja, Gargamuni told Vasudev, he said, "Normally, I give instructions to others, but today, you give instruction to me. What do you want me to do in Braj?" So he was so excited because he understood that he was going to be able to see Krishna and Balaram, the original Supreme Lords. But he wanted to know what was the purpose of his going to Braj, to Nanda Maharaj's home. And then Vasudev explained to him, the Namakaran had not been done yet. It's essential that these sanskars be performed, otherwise it's no better than animal life. So therefore, I'm sending you as the Purohit, the Acharya of the Yadu dynasty, to secretly perform this Namakaran. So therefore, Gargamuni, he had his mission, just as when Akura was sent, he had a mission. But at the same time, he was so grateful, because he, amongst all the other Mathuravasis, he was going to get the darshan of Krishna Balaram being sent by Vasudev. And therefore, all of these ecstatic symptoms appeared in his body when he saw Krishna Balaram playing the part of little children in the laps of Yashoda and Rohini. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yes.
Because the twice born includes the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas. So he was also twice born. Now, Gargamuni, he explained some other things to Nanda Maharaj, because there are particular sanskars as one goes through life. So because he could see the future, he said, "I will not be able to perform the ear-piercing sanskara or the hair-cutting sanskara. You will have to do that. You will not be able to perform the first day of school, the brahmacharya sanskara, or the Vivaha Sanskara. I will do these things, and I know when these things will happen, because according to Jyoti, she understood all these things. So therefore, he instructed Nanda Maharaj to perform these sanskaras. Now this Shalagram Shila that's being worshipped, there were Brahmins who were doing worship, but also because Nanda Maharaj, since his childhood, was worshipping. And he gave all credit to his worship of Narayan for the protection of his child, Krishna. Just as we heard 2 days ago, that Yashoda Mayi, she was always thinking that my child has been saved from these calamities because of the worship we do of Narayan. Narayan has saved my child because of our pious activities. So whether Nanda Maharaj personally did the puja, it's not mentioned. But he had Brahmins engaged in all different types of activities within his household. And the worship of Shalagram Shila was going on in his household since his childhood, Nanda Maharaj's childhood. And it is mentioned there that he was alone with his servant when he was worshipping Shalagram. So whether we can assume or not, he was doing the worship of Shalagram. And then he offered all those articles also to Gargamuni when Gargamuni arrived. There's no mention that any Brahmin was there when he was doing the worship of Shalagram. But he was himself twice born as a Vaishya, because the Vaishyas also went to Gurukula. And they, at the time, they all the Vaishyas, the Kshatriyas, and the Brahmins, they would go to Gurukula. They would receive the upayana sanskara, the receiving of this of the sacred thread, and then they would be sent back. They would be trained in different ways. The Kshatriyas would be trained in a particular way, such as Dronacharya. He, although he was a Brahmin, he trained all the Kauravas in the Dhanurshastra. And the Vaishyas also are trained in particular ways, how to take care of the cows, how to do business properly. And the Kshatriyas also are trained in Niti Shastra. So each of the different Varnas, they're trained when they're in the Gurukula, how to perform their different duties. So a Vaishya, he doesn't have to learn all of the formalities that a Brahmin has to learn. He doesn't have to learn diplomacy. He doesn't have to learn Dharma Shastra. But he does have to learn how to take care of the Krishi Goraksha. So after performing the Upayana Sanskara, they're sent back to their homes. So where this happened, when this happened in the life of Nanda Maharaj, I've never read about it, but perhaps someday we'll come across it and we can answer the question with more detail. But he was twice born. Yes, Prabhu.
May I ask something like you gave last time in the temple? Last time you gave class in the temple?
Yes. Yes.
So you were explaining the last part like
in composition.
Yes,
yes, that's right. Intense love. On my altar, I have a quotation by Srila Prabhupada. You have come to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone loves Krishna. Intense love. So you should learn this intense love for Krishna while you're in Vrindavan. Something like that. So that is the That is our whole purpose of being in Vrindavan, learn this intensified love for Krishna as the Brij Basis. And not only the Brij Basis, Prabhupada goes on, he gives a long list. The water loves Krishna, the land loves Krishna, the animals love Krishna, the birds love Krishna, the bees love Krishna. Everything loves Krishna in Vrindavan. And that's the type of intensified love that we should learn. Just as all the inhabitants, including the birds, the bees, the animals, the land, the water, the sky, the clouds, everything loves Krishna. That's the qualification for living in Vrindavan. That you have to learn from a pure devotee. You take shelter of a pure devotee, and we've taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, who's a resident of Vrindavan, and he's teaching us how to love Krishna. Now, there was a little misunderstanding, because in the Nectar Devotion, it says that one should take shelter of an inhabitant of Vrindavan and learn how to serve Krishna according to the mood of that resident. So the devotees were thinking, does that mean that I should take shelter of Mother Yasoda? Should I take shelter of Srimati Radharani? And the Prabhupada explained that if we think that we can learn from Mother Yasoda and become like Mother Yasoda, that's Mayavad. If we think that we can learn from Radharani how to love in that mood and become like Radharani, that's also Mayavad. We are servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of these eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. That means we assist them in their relationship with Krishna. So those who are in the Vatsalya Ras, as we're learning now about Vatsalya Ras, they are assistants of Mother Yasoda. They never, even in dream, think, I will become a mother like Mother Yasoda. So Prabhupada calls this Mayavad. So then another devotee, as Prabhupada was explaining this, that this is a form of Mayavad, to think like that. He says, Srila Prabhupada, we have taken shelter of you, and you are an inhabitant of Vrindavan. So we can also learn from you. And then Prabhupada said, yes, that's correct. So we can learn from Srila Prabhupada. That's why he's given us in one lifetime, you can't hear all of Prabhupada's lectures, read all of Prabhupada's books, read them and remember them and understand them. So at least this lifetime, dedicate to try to develop that intensified love as the Brij Basis have. Hare Krishna.
Although Gargamuni was explaining everything about their Krishna Balarams, how they are, who they are, but still the Dasaramaya, they are present there, many villages and numbers, but still they are too worried about their own.
Yes. Yes.
Why? They already know that they speak the word of the Gargamuni.
No, actually Gargamuni warned them. He said, you have to protect them. Although they're the same, although Krishna is the same as Narayan, still your duty is to protect these children. So on his order. And then later, we'll read in chapter 26 that so many wonderful activities Krishna was performing. Finally, the Brij Basis came and asked Nanda Maharaj, because Nanda Maharaj had to keep this whole name-giving ceremony a secret for so many years. Finally, in chapter 26, he tells them what Gargamuni told them, that he's non-different from Narayan, that we have to protect them. So secretly, Nanda Maharaj understood all this from Gargamuni. And he understood from Gargamuni that it was his responsibility to protect this special child. And therefore, he was always meditating how to protect. And then, finally, in chapter 26, he tells the other inhabitants of Vrindavan who this child actually is. Before that, they were just guessing. Maybe he's a demigod, maybe some special blessings from Narayan because of all the pious activities that the Brijbasis had performed, because he was their prince. He was going to be their king. So they didn't know who he was. Only Garga Muni told the father and the two mothers who these children are, but they had to keep it a secret for all those years. So that was why, on the order of Garga Muni, Nanda Maharaj and the two mothers had to protect these children, because he warned them, many, many demons will come and try to kill them. There, for them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Narayan, who they worshipped, to protect their child. Well, he's as we read on in these verses, he said it in a very secretive way, because he couldn't fully inform them who Krishna was. He never said to Nanda Maharaj, actually, this isn't your son, this is the son of Vasudev. He couldn't say that. He said, in a previous life, sometimes he's the son of Vasudev. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.